Good morning.
Good to see you in worship on this third Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. And to help us with our focus in worship this morning, here's a question for you. Do you put your money into a savings account, for example, with the goal of losing what you deposited? No, right? You put it there with the goal of making some money on what you deposited, even if the rates are low. Well, God has invested in us, and He expects to see growth. And that happens as we are connected to His Word. If we're not connected, we cannot grow. Similar with our money. If it's not deposited, it cannot grow. Well, God help us grow. That's why we're here. I invite your attention to our invocation on page 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His.
We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow Your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep Your law and obey it with all my heart.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind."
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Almighty God, you sent your Son to proclaim your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of your Spirit that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive. A reading from Holy Scripture on this third Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord comes to us from Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, where we hear about a spiritual renewal taking place as people were eager, imagine that, to hear the Word of God. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For our psalm, we'll sing it, the refrains, and we'll speak the verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, The skies proclaim the work of his hands.
Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world.
The law of the Lord is perfect, giving joy to the heart.
The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes.
They are more precious than gold. They are sweeter than honey. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart
be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my Redeemer.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
There are people who do not want the Bible to be proclaimed, but the author of the Bible has a different take on things. A reminder of this in our reading from Holy Scripture, Acts chapter 4. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 4th chapter, where Jesus point blank tells the people who he is and provides the proof. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we continue now with our hymn of the day. Thank you. On this day the Lord has made, God's grace and His peace and His mercy remain yours in great abundance, and this is all possible thanks to our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we focus our meditation at this time. A reading once again from Nehemiah. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has definitely invested in you, and you, by the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, are invested in Him. Now, how closely do you monitor or follow or watch the investments that you have made, whether that be in a savings account or in a retirement account? You know, even children who do not receive a regular paycheck, some children watch very carefully the money that they make and what happens to it. The money they make either from gifts that they receive or from doing chores around the house or in the neighborhood or even when a tooth falls out. Now, do you have expectations when it comes to your investments? Well, of course you do. You also realize that if you're not invested, if your money's not invested, well, then it cannot grow. Part of godly stewardship does include or involve investing well or wisely that the money God has given to us. For that in and of itself is not a sin. The love of money is a sin, but putting our money to good use, that's God-pleasing. As noted earlier, God has invested in each one of us. And He has expectations with that investment that He has made in each one of us. He even has provided the means, the tool to help us meet that expectation. That is how good and gracious He is and how invested He is in you. But if we are not connected to the tool that He has provided, to His means of grace, well, then the result will be evident. There will not be growth. And so the Lord reminds us today through these words of Nehemiah that our time in the Word, His Word, it does pay dividends. And so it's important for us then to make the time to be in His Word. And as we make the time to be in His Word, it's also then important for us to make the time to follow His Word. Nothing new of these expectations as we hear about in Nehemiah. Maybe recall the background. Nehemiah served as governor. Now this is after the captivity of Babylon is over. And as promised, a remnant of believers were able to go back from Babylon to their homeland in Jerusalem. But before Nehemiah arrives to serve as the governor of this chosen remnant of people who would be a part of God's promise regarding the Savior, keeping that alive and well, Ezra, a priest, had made his way back with that remnant. And his main focus was to create a spiritual renewal amongst the people. They had been away from the homeland, and so he wanted to remind them of why they were back and the significance of that. But then some time had passed and that spiritual renewal kind of went the way of all spiritual renewals. So Nehemiah comes to town and his main task was to rebuild the wall that had been broken down so that the city could be kept safe from the enemies. And once that wall was built back up again, it took some time, but not too long. He gets together with Ezra and says, let's do a spiritual renewal again. And that's what we hear about. and the people were ready for it. Seeds have been planted. And so they eagerly desired to gather around Ezra and Nehemiah and all the scribes who would help Ezra in proclaiming the word of the Lord that day. They eagerly gathered around that word. And they were willing to spend hours around that word in one sitting. So that's what we're going to do today. Okay, maybe not. But the purpose of their gathering around the Word of God then is still the same purpose, in essence, that we gather around the Word of God today. In part, the main purpose is to show God that He indeed is the priority in our life. He has made it clear that we are the priority in His life. And so we want to make sure that we show God, yes, you are the priority. By clearing our calendar, whether it be in person or online, to be in worship. That fits with what God wants for us, as summed up in the third commandment, to gather around His Word, to gladly hear and learn His Word for our benefit. And as we gather together in worship, we have the opportunity to learn more about our God. The Apostle Peter says we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on this side of heaven, there is never a time when we can say we know it all and need to stop growing or don't need to grow. And so we want to make the time to listen, to be in God's Word, knowing that that time in God's Word, it does pay dividends. God, you are the priority. God, you have things to offer me. Even if it's just one golden nugget that we walk away from in worship, the Holy Spirit can use that and build on that. Now, we hope to gather many golden nuggets when we're in the house of the Lord. But if we can just glean that one, it's paying dividends. If you were to find a golden nugget on one of your walks, wouldn't you be excited? How much more we are to be excited when we get that golden nugget here in worship. Another purpose of gathering together for worship is encouragement. Not only then is there a vertical relationship taking place in worship where God is strengthening us through His Word, and we are showing God that He is the priority in our life. There's also an encouragement that's taking place horizontally as we sing the hymns and speak the responses, which is the Word of God. Strengthening is going on from your mouth to the ears of those next to you. And also that encouragement of we are with like-minded followers of Christ. When people aren't here, that's noticeable, and that can become discouraging. Unless we know why they are not here, and we know for the most part during this stretch why some people aren't here for medical reasons or COVID, but we also know thankfully they are with us online, and that then serves as a source of encouragement too. It also is a source of encouragement, the knowing that it's not just us who are gathered in this particular place that are worshiping the Lord and making Him the priority. There are believers all across the world who take the time to worship the Lord, to reflect in their lives that He is the priority. So there is great encouragement, as the Lord said in the words of Hebrews 10, "Let us not give up meeting together, so that we can encourage one another." We need this encouragement as we know what is going on in the world, in our own lives. And so God puts us together to encourage one another. And as we make the time to be in the Word, knowing it pays dividends, we follow the attitude of the psalmist who said, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord,' knowing all the benefits that come from that vertical relationship being enhanced along with the horizontal relationship." Plus, by making worship a priority, we're setting the example. For those who know us, might be in the neighborhood, oh, there they go again, same time, every Sunday, somewhat dressed up, we know where they're going. Might be for your relatives, it might be for your own children or grandchildren. Setting the example that worshiping the Lord with fellow believers is a priority. And if it can't be in the house of the Lord, that it be online. I mean, with technology today, there really is no good excuse not to be in the Word to reflect the Lord God is your priority. And as we gather together to hear the word of the Lord, we hear both law and gospel, just as the people at the time of Nehemiah did. In fact, when they heard the law of God, it led them to weeping and mourning. They realized that their sin and the sin of their ancestors is what led to that captivity in Babylon in the first place, and why God had to carry out his judgment to restore. And you and I, no different when we hear the law, are reminded of our own sins, of the times that we do not keep God as the priority in our life, that we show that he is not the priority, when we disworship our times to be in the Word, when we don't put his Word into practice. And so that law ought to lead us to mourn and weep and confess, Lord, we are not worthy. But thankfully then, as now, the Lord does not stop just with his law, which points out our sin and need for a Savior. He also gives us the gospel, which shows us that we have a Savior. That wrath and punishment that we deserve on account of our sins, he has put that wrath and punishment on his Son, who did not deserve it. And through his victory on the cross, we have complete and full forgiveness. And so as Nehemiah says, with that gospel, there's no longer a need to weep and mourn, but rather to have your hearts filled with joy. You are forgiven and able to stand in the presence of God. You are able to be reassured of that each time you're in the Word of God, knowing that the Word pays dividends. And so, dear friends, keep making time to be in that Word. And as you do, keep making time to follow that Word. The Lord also reminds us blessings come with obedience. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Actually, do what it says. And the benefits will be amazing. The Lord reminds us then to take what we learn in worship and apply it to our day-to-day life. We grow spiritually, and that's what God wants for us, to keep on growing. Not all of us grow spiritually at the same level, the same rate, for example, but there's always growth that takes place when we're connected to the Word. And that's really what the Lord wants to see from us. He just doesn't want to see our faces in the pew or on a video screen. He more importantly wants your heart. He wants to see spiritual growth. And where there's spiritual growth, there is vibrancy. And there is obedience to his Word. And where there's obedience, there's blessings. And so worship gives us a connection point to God and to one another, to his Word, to put his will for us in practice. And you've heard it before, his will for us can really be summed up in 5 points. He wants people to come to faith, which he has made possible through his means of grace. And also then through you, through the word that you proclaim, he plants the seed of the gospel, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he wants people to grow in that faith, again, which he has made possible to happen as he has provided his means of grace for us to grow, to hear again the law, what we deserve, and then the gospel, what he has given to us, undeservedly so. And then back to the law again as a guide to live our life day to day. And then he also wants us to live that word. And so he's given the commandments, for example, as a summary of that guide. Or as the psalmist said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Gives clear direction. And then also he wants us to share that faith so that others too can have the joy and the peace and the confidence that we have throughout life, that they can have that too. And then finally get the goal of that faith, which is heaven. Everything we do in life is to match up with those summary goals. Not getting caught up in the exactness itself, but how we and what we do fits with those goals. And so as we come together for worship, we are reminded of His will for us and how He wants us to put that will into practice. Psalm 119 puts it this way, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word." With that in mind, we gather together for worship and make time to be in the Word and to follow that Word by spreading the message of joy that God has given to us. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations and heartache, God has still given us a joy that trumps all of that. So what message are you sending to those who know you and what you're going through? Is it all doom and gloom, or is there a reason to still have joy in life? We're not talking happiness, we're talking joy. A joy rooted in God's grace, which then is rooted in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and what He has waiting for us. Well, we're still real about what's going on with trials and tribulations and heartaches and how they can get us down. But God's joy, the cause of it, is just as real and powerful. So again, what message are you sending? Are you spreading the joy that God has given to you? As someone has said, we are the mass of God. He uses us. Whatever we're doing to be His witnesses, His messengers. Because God wants all people to hear about His message of salvation. To hear what He has in store for them by His grace. And so again, He uses you, what you do day in and day out, to get people's attention, to share that message of hope and joy and confidence. It might be the things that you do without great fanfare, helping somebody across the street, offering food to a stranger, taking donations for a food pantry. You know of someone who's sick or hurting. Maybe you can't visit them right now because of all what's going on, but you still can send a card or make a phone call or send an email or a text and give them a message of hope and peace and joy. Those are all things that we, again, are reminded of as we gather together to worship our Lord. The time you spend in the Word of the Lord, it pays dividends. Even if you may not recognize those dividends at the moment, yet keep in mind the Holy Spirit is still working in and through that Word of God. And at the right time, He will help you reflect on and remember what you need for that moment. Dear friends, God has indeed invested in you. And He has expectations. Keep invested in Him. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We turn to a confession of faith. It's found for us on the top of page 9. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And we continue with the prayer of the church. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are now worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far, and bring people into heaven. Lord, continue to grant healing to Rich Baker and David Call, along with Carol Johnson and David Scaltetti, together with everyone who is in need of physical healing. Continue to provide emotional support and healing to those who are in need of it, and continue to strengthen the faith of each and every one of us. Be with the Dwayne Carlson family as they mourn the death of Melody. Thank you for the faith you have given to them and had given to Melody, which enables them to have peace and joy amidst the loss and sadness. Move us to defend and protect the life of the unborn, all in ways that will not bring dishonor to your name, yet will get the message across that all life, outside and inside the womb, has been redeemed by you through Jesus, and so is precious and ought to be protected, for you alone have the ultimate right to give and to take life. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. Continue to shower them with your blessings. And may those among us celebrating a wedding anniversary be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
And we also pray,
our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Just a couple of reminders. You can check out the weekly news for things that are taking place currently and upcoming. Just a reminder that we do have a Thrivent Lunch and Learn opportunity for those who signed up. Thank you. That will be in the Multipurpose Center. If you didn't sign up but you'd be interested in learning about this Lunch and Learn opportunity, should be plenty of food. So again, free lunch. And again, this is not a sales opportunity. This is especially for those who are invested with Thrivent products. There's many things that can be done with those investments to benefit the ministry. So just good stewardship to review those opportunities. No news on the victory service for Melody. It's still in the works as the family was dealing with COVID as well. And so hopefully this week we'll learn more about the victory service plans. They do hope to have something here in the church, so keep the family in your prayers. Along with our two teachers that have been extended a call, they're still deliberating, so God continue to watch over them. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.
get out of here.